One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, it works good for right there on that mic that you're using, right? How does it work?
Up, shoot around.
Sure.
Doing
got it.
It's, is that
one? All right. Let's call the meeting to order after.
Okay, all right.
We do that, yeah.
We'll pass the sign. It was, all right, we're ready. We've got everybody, 100%. Wow.
Thank you. It was a Christmas party. It's an annual Christmas party. Nobody's gonna miss groceries.
All right, let's begin by an invocation followed by the pledge. If we all rise. Terry, would you mind?
Who?
Yes.
I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have together at this very special time of the year. Lord, thank you for the Christmas season and all that it means to the families and the people in our community and our nation. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have together here to do the people's business. And Lord, help us to do what we do here in a manner that would be in your wishes. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity in this special season of the year. And Lord, please bless this meeting and thank you for the opportunity. In your precious son's name, amen.
Amen. Sorry. Gary, that's all right. Thank you. Heartfelt. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call.
Here.
Randy Clinton.
Here.
Joey McLaughlin.
Here.
Howard Russ.
Rohrbacher.
Rohrbacher.
Yeah.
Just say Howie.
Yeah. Call me anything you want.
All right.
For dinner.
We've got minutes of two meetings to consider. What, we didn't have a quorum last time?
We did.
Why are we doing that? October 30th and November
21st. That was a special meeting.
Gotcha. All right. Do we have any corrections or additions to the minutes of October 30th? Let's do that. October 30th, regular meeting. Any corrections or additions? If none, motion to approve those minutes?
I so moved.
Second? Anybody? Jerry?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, next, the meeting on November 21st. Any corrections or additions to that special meeting? And that was called, let's see, who was there? That was a Red Rover lease. Okay. Jerry, you weren't there, so you can't move or second. Do we have a... Let me see. Was Terry, you want to make sure that everything you had... everything you wanted in there.
Yeah, Terry has some issues.
This is going to be postponed until today's meeting.
Yep.
I don't even see it on the agenda.
I'll move approval.
All right. Have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. The minutes are approved. New business, part 139, airport inspection.
Okay. The airport had its FAA inspection. Well, first off, Matt couldn't be here. There was conflicting meetings with the city manager. So I'm stepping in for him at this meeting anyways. We had our FAA inspection on the 3rd and the 4th. On the 3rd, he came in and went through all of our books for all the training, fuel, just every bit of information that we needed to have. We had it readily available for him. He was able to go through it pretty quickly. Had just a couple of questions. We was able to hash that out at the time, and everything is taken care of as far as the records. We did a run around the fence line and on the runways and taxiways, and everything looked good there. We broke for the day, and he came back at 6 o'clock in the morning so that we could do a night inspection. same thing, did the runways and taxiways. He thought for sure that on his inspection the day before, he thought he was going to find some real dull spots as far as the glass beads were, but he didn't find it. Everything looked beautiful. Luckily, we had just had the runway painted 2 weeks before that, so everything was looking really, really good. So that helped us out a lot right there. The 2015 FDOT grants, he wanted me to bring that up. There's going to be approximately $500,000 available in FDOT grant monies. They need to be under grant by May 1st. There's quite a few projects that we have here that we could actually put the money towards, and it's going to be up to the board here to make the decision on what the final thing is going to be. First thing on the list is additional dollars to the terminal development, somewhere between $150,000 to $200,000. Another thing could be the ARP truck, which would be about $300,000. We did have a little bit of a issue with the ARP truck during the FAA inspection, by the way.
$300,000. Are we going to be asked to vote on this today?
No voting on this today. Okay. Just talking to get, letting you.
Oh, all right. So we're going to have
information.
We need to see a list of the items and the amounts.
The other one was the architect. Then the West Side Access Road. I don't know whether he had brought that up to you before or not. Wanting to get a road coming in off of 67th over there. Coming in towards the fence line, about maybe say 100 yards away from the fence line, and stopping that way. That area over there is more accessible to possibly getting somebody to come in and wanting to build over there to do something with the airport. That's
he would say, let the builder do that, right?
That's another one.
I would say, don't put the cart before the horse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's certainly not a high priority.
Okay. Another one is various pavement maintenance around the airport, which would be approximately $200,000. In speaking with the FAA, the chances are really, really good that the FAA will fund an ARF truck in the next grant cycle. And if they did that, also with the FDOT putting some money towards it, we would actually only be ending up paying approximately 5%. The FAA would pay 90%. That would leave 10% for us, but FDOT will pick up half of ours. So we would end up only paying 5% for a new ARF truck.
What's wrong with the old ARF truck? Is it not? And it gets used all of twice a year?
That may be what's wrong with it.
It may be only used a few times a year, but they have to constantly run it through its paces. And it is an old, old truck, and it's really hard to find the parts for it anymore. Basically, the parts have to be built to be able to replace it. What happened this last time with the FAA is a seal had gone on it. The seal went out on it 2 days before the FAA inspection. They were trying to get one in. There was no way they could get one in. The inspector wanted them to bring the ARF truck out here anyways and put it through its paces. All he had to do was be able to shoot some foam and stuff like that, and it'd be good to go. When he shot it off, yes, he did get it out there, and he knocked the cone down and did what it was supposed to, but he couldn't see because it was just a big waterfall all over the place, coming down the front of it, and that's mainly a seal. The ARF truck is out of service right now until that does get fixed, because it did put us below index.
Wow.
Supposedly that's going to be fixed it's supposed to be fixed by tomorrow, but we'll find out. I'll call tomorrow morning to see how we're doing with it. But the main thing is that truck is very, very, it was bought with old anyways as it was to start with. So the staff recommendations are to proceed with the, staff recommends are to proceed with the West Side Access Road, $200,000, and put the remaining amount towards the terminal area parking lot. The current budget for the parking lot and related infrastructure is $450,000. With the way bids are coming in, staff believes the number should be increased by at least another $200,000.
Well, that sounds like that's contrary to what you said, that no vote was to be taken today, because that's a recommendation. What's the deadline for?
May 1st.
So I would entertain a motion to table this until we see the projects in writing, you know.
I'll make a motion to table it until we can see some numbers in writing and maybe state that we'd like to see it at our first meeting in January, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Second.
All right. Okay, motion to table and until we see numbers, projects and amounts versus available funds so we can prioritize them. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, that's, so no, we're not making any recommendations.
Okay.
And I don't want, okay. Don't have staff go do that. I think there's a sense that that access road is not as high a priority, possibly as other things. And when you have nobody looking even at it.
You don't know what kind of road you'll need, how big.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah, there may be a higher priority for 200,000 than that. Yeah, I kind of jumped out of order. I skipped unfinished business. So we finished new business ahead of unfinished business. Go back to unfinished business. Fuel farm.
Okay, the fuel farm, as you can see, is well underway. They're over there working pretty hard at it every day now. It's going to be a $552,000 job, 80% of that being paid by the FDOT. The two Jet A, one Avgas tanks, all three will be 12,000 gallons each. Only the Avgas will have the self-service on it, though. The infrastructure is currently being installed. The tanks are being pre-built off the site, and that's pretty much just a plug and play. Bring it out here, put it in, and plug it in. It's a 120-day contract. The project must be substantially completed by January 13th, and the contractor does advise that he is on time and will meet that January 13th deadline.
Okay.
The Midfill Access Road, that's going to start this coming up Monday. It's a $52,000 project, 80% being paid by the FDOT, the other 20% by us. It connects the Midfield Hangar Campus with the North General Aviation Ramp in front of the car rental terminal.
Is it north or south of the car rental? North?
It'll be just west of the car rental.
Well, but where is it?
It'll be south, yeah, south of the ramp. It'll connect over there by where the sheriff's...
Between the sheriff
and the car. Yes, between the sheriff's and the ramp.
Okay.
The contractor is Art Walker Construction. They've already come in. They've gone through their training to get their badges for the two people that will be on premises the whole time. One of them will be there during the whole construction. As I say, it's going to begin Monday. It has a 90-day time frame to complete. Staffing. I've been promoted to Wayne's position. That left an opening. And we have 60 people who have applied for it, which was shortlisted to 20. And we're starting the interviews next week.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other unfinished business? The minute said the Red Rover lease was coming up today. Is that, where's the rep? Anybody from Red Rover here?
Nope. From what I have on here, it says both the Red Rover lease renewal and an update on the Shelter Landmark deal will be brought back to the board at a special meeting to be scheduled in early January.
All right. Board okay with that?
Yep. Suits me.
Okay. Fuel and ops.
That's going to be presented at the next meeting also.
Fuel and ops. All right. Are there any persons wishing to appear? You guys out there got anything? Nothing? Nothing? Anything?
Well, there's all kinds of rumors about what's going on right now.
And you are, say your name for the record, please. And
Brian Hagel.
And?
I'm with Executive Club. Formerly Executive Club, we don't know what's happening right now. The feds have seized all his jets.
Who's he again? Who's he?
Kim Lal, our CEO of Executive Club. He started Executive Club as a charter business in Gainesville. We expanded to here over a year and a half ago. Right now, we're the only portion that's still intact of Exec Jet Club. It's business as usual to this point. And for the board, I'll throw this out there. I've talked to Matt, I've talked to Tracy, trying to put an LLC in place to get Exec Jet Club off the airport. Talked to Matt, he doesn't have any problem with it. We don't want to be associated with criminal activity, and that's where we're at right now. But
for the uninitiated, can you tell us about the Exec Net? What is it?
Exec Jet Club.
Exec Jet Club.
That's maintenance.
Maintenance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're the maintenance arm, but they apparently were owned by Ken.
Ken Wall, yes.
Ken?
Ken.
What's apparently Ken?
He's found himself in a bind.
Yes.
He had some extra cash to get out of the country.
He had a lot of extra cash. He flew into Puerto Rico with $620,000 under there.
Am I the only one that know about this?
That's all?
Was that in the paper or something?
Yes, it was all over the place the weekend before Thanksgiving. So as of last Thursday, the feds have
all those happenings, and we didn't know about
everybody's involved. The feds, Department of Treasury, FBI, Homeland Security, they're all looking pretty hard at everything that you've got going on. So we're still working on customers' claims. All payments are going to be on hold until we get an LLC in place. Matt's okay with the facility as it is. For now, I've got money coming in from a financial advisor to substantially improve the place. I got a manager in place who ran a 135 operation, which we're not going to be a 135, but I have management in place that's going to make the place hopefully much better than it is with extra funds that we have coming in. So we've been working under a sub of Exec Jet Club in Gainesville. So we had to get approval for everything. Now we're gonna do everything in-house, but right now, like I said, we're putting an LLC together to try to get approval. Of course, we're gonna have to bring it to the board and bring it to Matt and Landmark, which is gonna be shelved there here in the future. So, but we are still in business, working on customers' claims. Even if we weren't gonna get paid, which we'll find out today if we are, my two mechanics down there and myself are going to make sure that customers are made whole regardless.
Okay. Appreciate that update. Anybody else? Nope. Anything from the board?
What about the, I guess the lease, the Red Rover lease, that's still pending?
That's a special meeting that
yes.
you referred to?
Yes, special meeting at the beginning of the year.
Okay. You took the job as the
shelter
liaison to the shelter. Is there anything to report from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lease out there that's running around for review.
Yeah, one of my concerns is just that. I mean, it's moving along in kind of a fashion, but what do we have to compare and contrast that lease to?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Now this is an official meeting. It's a good time to discuss it. But you know, we've gone through numerous proposals, opportunities, RFPs, you name it, and we keep coming back to the same thing. You know, and then the last thing place we left is okay. The lease is almost over. Let's let the lease run. When the lease runs down to the last year, 18 months. Then we'll get an RFP out there, a good RFP. The last one we had was horrible. I mean, it was just put together to be a developer. Were you involved in that? I was there for you, the board. They were looking for an airport commercial land user and an industrial land user and somebody to operate the airside all in one package. And we got three different responders, and they were, you know, it didn't work. It was a disaster. But to me, you know, we're now exactly 2 years next month from the time the lease expires. And the presentation we had at the last meeting, Matt pretty much told us they don't think that anybody would be interested in the place because there's consolidation within the industry. There's people that are buying one another. And, you know, I don't buy into that for a minute. I think there's a lot of people interested. In fact, if you look right now, We had three interests. Landmark made a very serious push at it, but 5-6 years ago, to try to get the lease redone before it actually expired. We had the deal with Ocala Jet 3 years ago, or 3-4 years ago, to do the same thing, and now we're back with Shelter. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to buy up the last couple of years of the lease? I can explain it. We all know it, but I'll explain it. If you do it that way, you buy into the lease, and then you are able to negotiate a lease without competition. So by doing that, you're negotiating a lease based on whatever you can bring to the table. If we wait and if we run an RFP and if we get good responders, and I think we will. I mean, we're talking 30 years. I've sat here and watched the other lease run. It's 28 years now. I went back with the old lease, which Randy's very intimately familiar with Skyway. It was a 20-year lease. I went through the 10, and then I was involved, became involved when the second 10 kicked in. The gentleman who had it, an old friend of ours, Reggie Haney, kind of decided it was better to sell it at that point in time, so he sold it. And there was three other owners of it during the last 7 or 8 or 9 years of the lease. They just milked it until it wasn't anymore, and that's when we went out looking. We did an RFP. We found Landmark, Piedmont Hawthorne. We got us what we got now. I mean, we went through that process, and we're here 28 years later. So I think we're short-sighted, and the city staff is jumping at the bit to get into the industrial development business, because that's what Shelter is bringing. They're bringing the package of being an industrial developer and an airport airside operator.
I wasn't aware of the industrial developer part.
They have apparently a development arm.
But my point is there's
there's more than one. What you're saying is there's more than one.
That would come? I have no idea.
Well,
in terms of what they're proposing, though, is it's something like what we had before to be in the industrial development business, along with the developing the terminal and the airport and running the airport. The thing that we're interested in, I believe, and this is my perspective, and I'm going to agree or disagree, we're here for the airport, the airside part of the airport, pumping gas into airplanes, providing those kinds of services, the ancillary part of what an airport's about. Industrial developments can be a really important component of our airport, but it's not our principal charge. Our principal charge is the airside part of the airport. So I really feel like, and you know, when we get to that point, that we have an opportunity to let the lease run, do an RFP, and then work with the responders that we get to find the very best opportunity for Ocala for the next 30 years. I made 28 years in the first 30. I ain't going to make the next 30. So I don't know what will happen in 30 years, but I can guarantee you the way Ocala looks now, the way the airport looks, the way the activity is here and so forth, in the next 30 years is going to be, I believe, many times greater than what is seen in the last 30 years. So we're selling the airport short, we're selling the public short, we're selling our community short. If we don't take advantage of looking at it from the long-term perspective of the airport and the fueling side of the airport.
Well, in a perfect world, how would you see it existing?
Hmm?
In a perfect world, how would you see the airport existing? Airside, one part, industrial development, second.
Well, they can be together. but our responsibility is this. I don't see any reason for us to go out looking for. That's what we did before. We went out looking for somebody who was an airport developer who was also an FBO. And I believe, are there any industrial developers around Ocala, people that would do that kind of work?
Hallie and I both know people that are airport developers, and we, I think that was before I was on the board.
So one of my former partners,
we discussed
the airport approaching.
We actually discussed approaching the airport
and
bringing someone like that
in.
They
did residential conjunction with it, industrial, airside, and
yeah, well, we're not looking for residential here.
Well, but you got there is land that would exist to the west of the airport that if they wanted they could buy. Not airport.
That's already set up as a road. Oh, that's already a platted industrial.
Well, but I'm just saying the adjacency, the closeness to it. Not that have to be only airport property.
Oh, for residential?
Yeah.
I think it's a long shot here, but anything's possible. I wouldn't want to live here, but you know, I mean, anything's possible. But
everybody goes somewhere.
The idea behind it is if incentives were given by the city to me, to industrial developers, if they came to you, Jerry, and said, you know, if you'll build a building, we'll give you the land for nothing, we'll negotiate a lease for it until you have the building up and built and have a tenant for it, and then you start paying us, because this land's sitting there doing nothing. There's some certainly some incentives the city could bring to the table in terms of helping get you through the pitfalls of all the industrial development kind of things that you need from the city and the building department to get something up, because the CEP tells me that the greatest need that they have right now is empty buildings. They don't need them to be empty. They need empty buildings that they can fill up.
Well, I see exactly what you're saying, and I might even look at it slightly different than what you're saying. I don't think that the FBO operator, in fact, I know one that's really good. It's not big like Landmark or big like Shelter, but they're going to help probably do more volume than this Landmark does in New Jersey. And they would be interested, for example, in this airport, but they wouldn't be interested necessarily from the industrial side, whereas if you split it up, you had...
I don't think we'd ever do an RFP when we went looking for we wouldn't want to do that. We already did that.
No, that's what I'm saying. When it was explained to me when I was in Kansas, it was, you know, they're going to come in and basically take over what Landmark's doing in effort to put up the money for the terminal in advance so that we don't lose that grant.
Well, that's always been the carrot, the thing we've been talking about. It was $4 million on the table when Landmark was talking about it several years ago. I don't know, they talked about money, but we never...
$10 million FDOT and $2 million at Shelter's.
Prepaid rent.
Yeah. Prepaid rent, right.
What would a company yet to be determined if we did an RFP in the next year bring to the table?
I mean, they could bring the same deal.
But could they bring a better deal?
They could. I guess the question becomes, could we get that done in time not to lose the grant money? I think that's a big incentive.
I don't think you can if you let the lease go to term. That's the problem.
Well, that grant money's been hanging around out there, and we've been on this cusp of losing the grant money for what now, about 3 or 4 or 5 years? So I think it may hang around.
Couldn't you modify the existing lease for an extension?
That's what they're asking.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about going to term because it's going to have an automatic extension once it expires.
Well, we're talking about the grant has been extended. I don't know all the nuances of the grant.
But
what I've been led to believe is that the grant can't be extended and will terminate before the termination of the Landmark lease.
Yeah. But the $2 million is a lot of money. With all due respect, over 30 years, $2 million doesn't amount to a whole lot. And we've got to be more strategic in terms of how we look at things. This is a tactical kind of approach to a strategic problem, and it just doesn't make sense to rush around and sell the lease short and negotiate a deal with Shelter or anybody else. They're a good operator. I'm taking anything away from them. I like what I hear about them. They're good. Landmark's a good operator. Landmark has a large national footprint. Shelter has a regional footprint. But they're similar kinds of operators, perhaps. But what else would come down the road if we do an RFP, and if we look at somebody coming in here to bring terminal, to bring whatever else it is we're looking for into the picture. Because you put the RFP around it. And who's to say that Shelter and Landmark and maybe even Ocala Jet aren't going to be bidders in the opportunity when it comes up again? I mean, they're all there. They could do it again. They're here now and they're very interested. What's going to keep them? If Ocala is so interested to them for the next 30 years, what's going to change their mind in the next 2 years?
Somewhere along the line, I sort of missed this, but why is Landmark negotiating with Shelter if Landmark would like to keep it?
They're not.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they are.
I think you could say, I think they see the handwriting on the wall that they're not you know, likely...
Landmark has not been treated well by the city, in my opinion. Not have a voice.
I don't think Landmark's, I think they'd prefer to cut their losses and get the value, while there's still value, and move on.
Yeah.
That's probably...
They'll run it to the end.
If you go to the end, it's worth more selling with a little term, like an airplane with a few hours on the engine, you know.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but I mean, if Terry just made the statement that Landmark might still be a player.
They could be. You know,
as long as we're discussing this, as long as you've got a good operator, I don't care if they're local, regional, or national. I mean, the person I mentioned in New Jersey runs a lot better operation than I've seen at some of the Landmark places.
Well, maybe
the one
maybe
in Banyan, the Banyan is not. They're probably local or not.
Banyan?
I think Shelter has, 21 FBOs, 13 in Florida, I believe is a statistic.
But the point is, someone like Banyan, I think...
They're individually owned.
I think they run the best operation I've ever seen.
They do. I go to Fort Lauderdale executive often because that's where my granddaughter lives.
Well, you know, it's like...
You're going to see a lot of changes in that coming. I mean, Showalter just sold.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I mean, if you guys have time on AOPA.org, yeah. Bob Showalter gave a very good...
The economies of scale. He can't compete. He can't price things as low as these guys that buy in bulk, that they're accounting. It's just like hospitals. It's like so many industries. The accounting is centralized. All their purchasing center, a lot of their employees are centralized. So you don't duplicate it at each site, so they can afford to they can sell gas cheaper because they spread costs.
That was amazing for somebody like a Showalter to sell. It very, very surprising.
Yeah,
well, that's exactly
good,
the reason.
If you have time, it's interesting to listen.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of consolidation.
That's surprising to me because this person in New Jersey's fuel prices, take Jet A or Avgas, $2-3 cheaper than it is here, and he's not a Landmark.
Well, there's people that are able to compete and find a way to compete. I mean, there's always going to be competition.
They paid Shield. I mean, it's run by the county, and it's, I think they have gas is around $4 and a half a gallon.
So. And they don't have overhead.
It's easy. Overhead. I mean, if they allocate it.
Like, I know people that if they own the building, they can sell things cheaper even and undercut other people because they don't have the overhead. But if you're renting, you have to have your prices up so you can make your rent, you can make your insurance payments, and small guys can't compete with Walmart.
Yep.
Well, in the end, the thing we're talking about here is, you know, how do we, philosophically, how do we approach the duty we have, the fiduciary responsibility we have to the city? Not to the city, but to the city hall and so forth, to the users of the airport and so forth. You know, do you negotiate with somebody just because it seems like the best thing to do and because they're, you know, we're afraid there might not be somebody in 2 years or less? I think most leases are negotiated or renegotiated or put out for RFP prior to the end with an agreement of somebody like Landmark something's done, you know, done for them or done with them. In exchange for them giving up the lease, but you know they don't really want it for the last year.
Well, I don't sign up before. I mean, I agree 100% with everything you said, but at the same time, if you can negotiate a deal that's, you know, got escalators and things like that.
But how do you know? How do you know what the market is?
How do you know?
You know what
like,
the market. You
like
know what the market is.
I mean,
just like when you bring me the price for the building you're going to build for me, you'll tell me it's the greatest deal going. I get five contractors to bid it, and you get B. You know, there's sometimes there's a better deal out there. I'm not casting aspersion, but you're in that business. You know.
Well, I understand, but if it's a good deal and going forward it's a good deal. Certainly, we have accountants and people that can.
But once you sign these leases and once you get into them, you're hung there for 30 years.
Well, right now we still don't know what's all in the lease. Is that correct?
I haven't seen it.
Now we have. They still had a lot of negotiation that was going on between themselves, between the city and Shelter. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't know right now sitting at this table.
Yeah, well, the city doesn't know anything about the airport or what the market is for airports out in the country either, with all due respect. They got
what's the sense of the board here? We could, you know, what's the sense? I mean, what do you think? We have an obligation to inform the city through a, you know, any.
I don't know what the feeling. I don't know what the feeling is. I'm just making my feeling known. It depends on. It's five of us here. How do you look at it? I guess philosophically, do we move forward and negotiate with somebody just because they showed up and said they wanted to, or do you do the process which is best for the city, in my opinion, and eventually do an RFP and go out looking for what we want, when we want it, where we want it, and so forth, and get a competitive environment involved.
How long does it take to put an RFP out?
How long does it take? Not long.
Not long. Well, I mean,
I'm a little reluctant. You know, I wish Matt were here for this discussion.
No, we don't have to vote on it. I think it would be unfair for us to, in a vacuum, you know, sit here and take a vote and say, hey, we're against this thing, because we don't have all the things. It's a philosophical opinion.
We've got two sides of the plan for it. We're discussing.
January, yeah. You got two sides of the same coin. You can either say, hey, we're going to look at the whatever the city negotiates, they're going to send to this board and ask for our opinion.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
We can say, hey, this is the dumbest document we've seen in 25 years, or it's great, or it's middle of the road.
But it's hard for you to determine whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, because you don't have the options.
That's exactly where I was going. But if you get this and you haven't seen the other side of the coin, you don't know what was out there.
And I have a little bit of problem with some of the stuff the city looks at and the way they look at spending our money.
You think?
Are there industry standards of what these leases have in them, or they're not?
You're in the lease business.
I'm not in the airport lease.
Yeah, but you're in other kind of lease business. Yeah,
that's only because you know what industrial properties.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably a general matrix of some kind in terms of what everybody does. And that's, I assume, what we're looking at. But does that still give us the best opportunity? And I have not, you know, I got to tell you, I haven't seen the whole thing yet, and I would defer until I see the whole thing, until I can do that. But on the surface, the way it's been presented so far on the surface is, we waited. My first question is, why at this late date are we looking at abandoning a process that we thought was probably a pretty sound one, just because somebody comes along with a new toy? I mean, it's not good strategical thinking from the standpoint of our city.
Well, the sense I would do it, the big business driver is, A, they're one of the big boys. Mm-hmm. They'd be a prime candidate, and they're willing to spend the $2 million up front, and they have a development arm, and they've got a track record of success at other airports that they've been in developing infrastructure. So they've got a lot of pluses. The only anecdote I have on them is Walt Driggers, who used to live here, is now down at Albert Witted and thinks they're top drawer.
I mean, speaking as somebody that's based on the airport, I could see the benefits of doing it. Just, I mean, the negatives and stuff, but there's also a lot of positives, because it's not just the people that fly in here, but the businesses that are here for the people that fly in here. And if you've got somebody, because I'm sorry, I've seen a bunch of RFPs over the last 10 years that I've been working here. And things come and go and come and go, and nothing has happened. Promise after promise after promise. So if you say, well, we're going to take these people that want to spend all this money and say, you know what, we can get a better deal. We've seen that happen. We saw that with the FedEx thing where, you know, we're going to get a better deal, and then nothing ever happened. We've got ramp space sitting over that nobody's at. You know, if somebody wants to come in and better the thing,
we haven't had an opportunity with FedEx on this airport.
Well, like I said, that's the problem, too, is you hear so many things.
FedEx has never approached this airport about any kind of.
But that's not the point. The point is, you're saying only people that matter are the people that fly in here. But you've got the businesses. If you have a growing industry, if you've got a company that wants to bring in business, that's going to help the airport and the city. It's going to bring in. It's going to help small businesses like Quest and like us who need people coming into an airport. And you've got a nice facility that they want to build. You're going to get more pilots flying in here.
Well, pilots don't fly in here because it's a nice facility. Pilots fly in here because they fly airplanes, and they come here because there's something here that whoever's in the airplane needs.
You need people to fly in because it's nice.
This is the portal through which business flows in and out of Ocala. That's what it's here for. Me and, when I go out and fly my steerman around and so forth, I'm not contributing much to the airport except a little bit of gas.
No, but you have a lot of people, and you can see it. If you talk to, like, flight schools, and not us, we're small, and these other ones, they pick where to go on the facilities. If you've got a facility that they like to go to.
The facility itself brings something to the airport, and that's a good thing to have here. I mean, that helps the airport. But the community's economic engine is driven by industry, particularly manufacturing. The segment of the economy who flies here in those large tubes out there that take lots of kerosene, and the executives that get off of them and go into town and do meetings and build buildings here and employ people is what drives the economy.
Yeah, and if you've got a nice place that they like to fly into, it makes a difference. These jet pilots, they will fly to other airports if they're nice. They don't have a problem stopping other places.
Well, they don't come to Ocala because of the airport. They come to Ocala because of the business opportunity that's here. That's my point. And there are a lot of business opportunities here. You look to see what's happening, and that's exactly what I'm talking to. You know, FedEx is here. They're here with FedEx Ground. And there's lots of opportunities in terms of the growth of Ocala and a distribution corridor and what's happening here. The next 30 years is going to be key. I just want to make sure that we don't sell ourselves short on that. But I think we need to listen to... I personally want to listen to what Shelter has to say before I say yay or nay. I would, you know, it's just an opportunity to discuss it. I think it should be discussed. It should be discussed openly and pluses and minuses to it, and everybody should have...
That's what Randy's going to the meetings for.
Have something to say. Exactly. Well,
yeah, but I'm just one say.
Well, are they going to actually come here and make a presentation?
I would assume so.
Well, I was asking Randy since he...
They came last time just kind of, they were there, but is that the plan, or do you come that far? And Shelter is going to come make a proposal?
I presume so.
Have I been to the first meeting?
On the same page.
Have I what? I only went to a meeting with the city with no Shelter representatives, just talking concepts of what we'd like to see in it. And there's a draft lease circulating around that they want comments to.
Then we probably ought to get a look at the draft before.
Well, that'd be up to the airport manager to see. I don't know that it's for anybody's eyes right now, but the committee. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not the one that's going to hit send.
Yeah, but because my only point is, yeah. I don't want to show up here for a meeting on the 11th.
When January it's all done.
And have a lease on the evening of the 10th.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a request to the airport manager to you know.
I'd make a motion to that if somebody wants to second it.
I don't think we need to make any motions or do anything. But the city manager's meeting today with, I know, council and Matt. So they're visiting independently with each of the five city council.
Well, I don't know about the other board members, but if I get a lease that we want to comment on, on the night before the meeting, I'm probably not going to vote on it for next morning.
Well, that was my reason for making the motion.
I think that's where Jerry was going.
You want him, of how much time do you want?
I'd like to have, you know, two or three days. I can't tell you, I've gotten so many things to vote on the next day. And I mean, sometimes I don't open my email at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Jerry, I agree that it should be at least, you know, whatever draft is, should be circulated well before the meeting.
I think that's good language. I think we can, I don't think we need to vote on that, do we? Just pass that along.
No, you just put it in the minutes. That's the feeling. We'd like to have it.
How many days would you like?
I think, you know, it's
7 days.
You know, it's, if possible, seven days.
Wait.
I'd like to interject something if I could. It's on topic, what he's saying about the FBO. We're a single FBO airport. Whoever flies in here, like you were saying, they don't have an option. They're coming through this terminal here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to matter if it's $2 million or $100,000. They got to come through the terminal.
With a single
FBO, they don't have a choice. If they fly in here, they're coming through the FBO.
And the terminal really doesn't matter that much. This terminal is not the greatest thing in the world, but it's a long way from what we started with, which is the avionics. The terminal used to be avionics. For a long time, avionics was the terminal.
Go back over to where Target was.
Yeah,
you know, but Randy, what you were talking about comparing other leases, all leases are public record. So there should be no reason that you guys shouldn't be able to look at recent leases at other airports.
I think the ones that are adopted.
I mean, that should be definitely an option for you to compare.
Well, I don't know that the draft lease is not a public document either.
Draft documents, so if they're going to circulate to city council members,
I think they're public documents.
Yeah, but I mean, you had mentioned earlier how to.
Well, I don't know if they're.
Oh well, yeah, that's the time. You really need somebody to summarize.
I know that they're meeting with city council this week individually to bring them up to speed, not on this, primarily on the hotel.
Now, who is they?
City staff, city manager.
Oh, I would.
And the airport's part of that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, that's known around town, but that's what's going on right now.
And that hotel down there is kind of a, I hope it works for the guys, but if you don't have something to bring people downtown, you can't fill up the hotel space out of I-75.
They're about to spend $9 million of our money that we're going to get back over 60 years.
Did you get a phone call on that?
Yeah.
I got a robocall on that saying that this is basically.
I just happened to remember the number from hearing it somebody.
Yeah, this is about the biggest thing.
It's got a worse return than the airport. I know. I don't think I'll be here in 30 years to check the airport lease out. I know I won't be here in 60.
I don't think people want to live down
there. Well, but that's fine. But you know, there's the city's investing a lot of money in.
Are we talking about the hotel, or are we talking about Sandy McBride's deal?
Both. We're talking about the hotel. The hotel. No, this is not Sandy McBride. This is
the old telephone building was what.
No, that's McBride's.
Charles addressed that. People living downtown.
That's already done.
Well, I know that.
They're working on that.
Yes, that's right.
This is Albert Peake and another small group is putting. City's going to put $9 million in it. I don't know the whole deal, but a lot of there's some people on both sides that some people think it's the greatest thing going, and some people don't. But while they're talking about the hotel, they're also at those individual meetings with the council talking about the airport, the shelter.
Yep, it's definitely got some mo, as we say. So, it could be so far along by the time we get it, it's just done.
Yes.
You know? It's a fait accompli, as they
yeah.
say.
Yeah, we can go ahead and do the RFP.
Yeah, no, it just will be done.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we want to see the lease as soon as possible then.
Yeah.
All right. That's the sense. More eyes, the better, in my opinion. All right. Any other business?
The biggest problem with that lease, even after you look at it, you're looking at it somewhat of a vacuum because you've got nothing really to compare it to. Other than the Landmark lease, which is 30 years old. And I can guarantee you, when we did the Landmark lease 30 years ago, when we were looking at the Skyway lease, which was the one that had been around for 20 years, we thought we had done the greatest thing in the whole world for the city because we'd advanced so much further than what we had in the original lease.
Yeah.
But then within 5 years or 10 years, they were talking to us about being a bunch of dummies because why would you have done something like this and why would you have done something like that? And, yeah, but it's inevitable. It's part of that process. So I'm not making light of it, but that's exactly how it
happens. Hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah.
Everything else is crystal.
Hindsight is pretty damn good.
I'll say this. What our problems are pale in comparison with what the city is trying to do to bring the downtown back to life again, which I think is impossible.
Well.
You just think that the dynamics.
They are things that should have been done downtown 30 years ago. They
tore all the buildings down and made parking lots.
There's only half the buildings that have worked.
Sound like a song.
And the buildings that are there now are, well, they're banks there. That's about all you can say. Other houses there. A few lawyer's offices.
Restaurants. You got some restaurants.
No doctors, no dentists, nothing else the city should have.
Got a lot of empty office space down there.
Yeah, incredible.
Some of the things that council has come up with, you know, they need to try to get out of their development mind because
you're
not going to get a Williams Sonoma downtown Ocala.
You can't force development. It's got to come on its own accord. And until you get someplace for people to park, but you don't have to walk four blocks.
That's right. That's what
they're building a parking garage.
Parking garage.
Oh, but what parking garage?
As part of this hotel, they're building a parking garage. Well, the parking garage goes to the hotel.
They need to stress that point because there's a lot of people that are really mad don't know the parking garage is coming.
Well, what they can do with taxpayer money is so distort the market, which is, you know, that makes it work because they can rent a room for $40 a night and make money where someone on the interstate has to have $100 because of the incentive, you know, the free money.
I don't know a whole lot about the hotel.
It's free to the developer. Yeah. I mean, it just warps the playing field.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
And they've just revitalized it.
All right, guys.
Well, we can't solve all the problems as well.
Do we have anything else?
Move on to Washington, D.C.
Let's move on. Anybody else move on to the world problem.
Move on to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, there you go. That'll take the rest of the day. Any other business before the board?
No,
Congratulations on making it through your first meeting on stage.
He says, oh, what did I get promoted to?
No blood or anything, this is not blood.
Move to adjourn this meeting and take up the next meeting on restructuring downtown.
And we haven't even been to the Christmas party.
All right, guys.
I'll say, motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you for the discussion, it was good.
It was fun.
Yeah, the old guy that owns the, Jerry, what's the building you and I tried to chase downtown, that guy, Concord?